it. Okay. Hopefully all the technology is in place and operating as we have intended, anyway. I was touched by the readings, by the music, the words. God has given us words that, such as peace, the word peace. We have existed for such a long time in this country, and you know our own lives are so short. But I thought for a long time that we have lived in a very, very narrow window of peace and prosperity in this place and in this time. In the United States, born in the United States, we enjoy something that possibly no other people in the history of the world have enjoyed. Mm-hmm. A time of such unimaginable peace and prosperity that we may not even understand it. We do not, for the most part, fear for what tomorrow brings. For the most part, we don't fear for putting food on our table or defending our lives against those who would take them. A commercial of a depiction of the First World War between, and it was in the trenches, the British and the Germans, and it was such, although it was a candy commercial, it was contrast of conflict, human conflict, and yet peace for a few hours and allowed enemies to celebrate together the Christ into the world and peace. Or the text that I've chosen to bring this morning doesn't even mention the name of Jesus. It's from Psalm 37, but it's about conflict and what God is doing. And I think we need to look at this from a particular perspective, God's perspective, obviously, to understand where we are and how we act in a time of conflict. So I want to read first from Ephesians chapter 6, 10, 11, and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. A point, a time in human history where the world is very small. Using my finger and this small device, communicate with anyone I want practically in the entire world. It takes just a few strokes and it's accomplished. Manipulate information, I can send and receive, understand. It's a tool, but it has made our world very small and very easy to manipulate. It's made it dangerous. for ourselves, even. Because we have such things that are at our very fingertips. The title that I've kind of given to this message is Present Tribulation and Future Hope. In the meanwhile, what do we do? We have even now conflict that's so large on such a scale that possibly it may be the grandest scale conflict that has ever been in the world. I don't know. We live such short lives, it's difficult to have a grand perspective unless you've read so many historical books, and even then you don't know for certain, because men write the books and they write them from their perspective. So where do we go for true perspective? Well, we know. We go to the Lord. We go to His Word. And so this message from Psalm 37 is a hero-sized faith sandwich. I mean, it's about faith. And it's sandwiched between two huge slices of trust in the Lord. Picture. Everybody can understand that, okay? A big hero-sized faith sandwich between two slices, big slices of trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. What do we know about David? He's a very interesting man. He was a man of war. Psalm 144, verse 1 says, does anybody remember? Well, Psalm 144, 1. He prepares my hands for war and my fingers to fight. He was not a stranger to the sword and the spear and the sling and the bow. He understood what those things were for. He understood conflict. In fact, if we read the Old Testament and study the life of David, you find that most of his life was conflict. Himself. So he isn't very different from us. Flawed and broken. Psalm 51, another famous psalm of David. This is the one that he wrote after he had committed the murder of Uriah the Hittite and then taken Bathsheba. Actually, I guess that would have been in the reverse order. He took Bathsheba and then committed the murder. But the psalm begins, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Amen. Mercy comes to us not because of any merit that we possess, but it is all dependent upon God's nature, His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy. David was also considered a man after God's own heart. You can think about this and just wonder, how in the world is this man of war, this a murderer, and yet he's a man after God's own heart? And he also wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, I think, is an excellent historian for us to understand conflict, to understand the broadest scope of conflict, because he was a man of God. He was a flawed and broken, but recognized it. The Bible says that God called him a man after his own heart because he was so contrite he was always convicted quickly when he understood the presence of his own sin. When he saw that he had sinned, he repented, confessed. He sought forgiveness. In that respect, I think we can look at David as a man of truth. And Psalm 37 is a very wide, broad look at our condition as people in the world, as our condition in people in history, dealing with conflict, dealing with the spiritual forces, the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now we look at our own day, and we understand that there is conflict. And I'm not going to go into the aspects of that conflict as I understand them. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it simply doesn't matter what I think specifically. You may disagree. You know, those become human arguments that aren't even very profitable very quickly. So we're going to look at the landscape of Psalm 37, and eventually we'll read it through. Tribulation going on in Psalm 37. The scope is both specific and very general. Tribulation and conflict comes to us individually and even nationally. So there's it's not easy to get a hold of as far as understanding what we should do. I'm the type of person that I like to know what my next steps are. I'm sure you're the same. If there's a problem, from what I understand, men like to solve problems. And if there's a problem, I like to fix it. I don't like to look at it and watch it and just let it go for what it is. I like to fix it. Sometimes we can't do that. In Psalm 37, David says, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I have been young, and now I'm old. David's saying, I have lived a long time. Here's my perspective. I haven't seen God forsake the righteous. I haven't seen the children of the righteous begging bread. Now that's a large scope. That's a broad look at the statement. And I think as far as for Psalm 37 goes, because you've got two opposing forces at work here, the righteous and the wicked. We understand, and I know David understood, that if we are righteous, it is certainly not our own. There is one who is righteous. And I like to read the Bible asking a couple of questions. Where is Jesus? And what is he doing? So I read Psalm 37, asking those two questions. Where is Jesus in Psalm 37? Well, righteousness is mentioned in Psalm 37. There is none righteous except God. And if righteousness is attributed to men, the only way that it is attributed to men is through the blood of Christ. So when we read about the righteous and how God treats the righteous, God is treating the righteous because of the work of salvation done in his Son. Quite a lifetime of experience, being young and now old, he saw that the righteous were not forsaken, that the seed of the righteous, he had not seen begging bread. And I think we also need to look at righteousness as in our corporate identity. Jesus came to save a people for himself, to call them righteous, to bring them into righteousness, to cover them in his own righteousness. And so that corporate identity of righteousness implies that it's really more than just individuals. So I think as the church, there's actually a call here that we take care of each other. Why are the righteous not begging bread? Probably because they have decided that they will take care of one another. So in times of conflict, in times of uncertainty, where oppressors arise and governments fail to protect the liberties of people, the church, the righteousness of Christ on it, rises and provides. It does the work of Christ. It's the hands and feet of the Lord, feeding and taking care. In verse 35 and 36, kind of lapses into the first person narrative of this and says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. I did just a real short study on what in the world could he mean by this. Well, apparently the green bay tree is one of those trees that pretty much it prospers in its native soil, and it grows and just continues growing. Summer, winter, doesn't matter. It stays green, and it just continues to put out foliage. But there's no fruit. It's one of those trees that will grow quickly. It puts out branches and foliage and shades everything around it and provides no fruit. Purpose for its own sustenance, for its own life, and it gives nothing to anything else. So here David says he has seen the wicked in great power. So in his own life, he has observed oppressors rising up, seeking their own, providing for no one else, taking and not giving. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Who rise up for their own gain in God's economy don't last. So what this is the backdrop of where we are in Psalm 37. There's conflict, there's tribulation. We might be in need, but we know that we are not alone. We care for one another, we look to the Lord, and the time is only a little while. Before we actually read, I'm going to read the passage last, but I want to give you some details some fascinating details about the psalm itself. Parts of David's psalm here, he talks about the prosperity of the wicked. And you might think, how in the world is it that the wicked prosper? They come on the scene, and they are actually building up ideas and plans and putting organizations together to oppress people. Long enough in our world, you realize that, hey, that is true. There are wicked forces at work, and they are out for their own gain, and they really do not care about who they trample underfoot. I think that is a necessary piece of knowledge that we need about the world today. Out there in the world that people are basically good. That is not true. It is decidedly not true. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have righteousness, but it is not our own. And anyone who does not acknowledge Christ does not have that righteousness. And therefore, we do have wicked people seeking their own prosperity and doing so in an organized way. The wicked plot against the just. They gnash upon the just with their teeth. This is a very violent thing. There are people out there actually out to get you. You just haven't met them yet. That's a fact of our world. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. I find it very interesting that sometimes the wicked use the poor and needy as a shield even, and sometimes as a very intricate piece of the device that they have come up with to gain power. Slay the upright. Yes, there's a target on your head. The wicked, they borrow and they don't repay. In the world, in this conflict, in this tribulation in which we live, there are people taking and not returning. That's a fact. It's part of where we are in history. Watch the righteous and seek to slay him. That is the story. If we were going to look at this, maybe if this was a movie playing out before our eyes, it might be kind of like before the Star Wars movies, how you've got that first line of narration, you know, coming up into space. And I'm sorry if you haven't seen any Star Wars movies. But it gives you the basic line of the plot. The evil guy is after the good guy for his own gain. I mean, that's pretty much... I mean, that wraps up just about every good versus evil plot that we can think of. So, in that plot, where are our marching orders? What command do we have? What's our word to follow? Well, Psalm 37 helps us out here. There are a list of do's and don'ts in Psalm 37. I'm just going to give you some quickly here. In Psalm 37, the do's, trust the Lord. I told you, we've got this hero-size faith sandwich with trust in the Lord on both sides. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Keep the Lord's way. And there's also depart from evil. I'm a little bit disappointed because nowhere in there does it say draw your sword. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that is never necessary. Some very, very godly men throughout human history have had to draw their swords. But I'm just telling you that it's not here. Although it isn't mentioned, as you're trusting in the Lord and doing good and delighting in the Lord, committing your way to the Lord, resting in the Lord, waiting on the Lord, departing from evil, keeping His way, ceasing from anger, forsaking wrath, you'd better be praying. You'd better be doing all of this in an attitude of prayer, because I don't think it could be done otherwise. There are a couple of don'ts, just two. Threat not because of the evildoer. Yeah, he's out there doing evil. We know he's there. He's devising wicked things. He's doing evil things. Don't fret. Don't worry. It's not your job. I have a big problem with that, just so you know. There it is, word. And the other don't is don't envy of the wicked man who's doing wicked things and getting away with it.
I mean, I wish I could get away with things.
Don't be envious of the man who is working iniquity, and apparently nobody cares. Apparently, the rule of law has been swept under the rug, and they just get away with whatever it is they want to do. We are not to envy those people. Don't do those things, and we know what to do. There's a list of prophetic truths that necessarily happen in God's history. Because God is in this. He is in this conflict. And there are some prophetic things that He simply says are going to happen. And here they are. I'll start with the things that are going to happen to those who have the righteousness of Christ on them. They will dwell in the land. They will dwell. They will remain. They will live.
They will be fed.
They will inherit the earth.
They will delight
in the abundance of peace.
They
will have a forever inheritance. They will not be ashamed. They will be satisfied.
They will not
be utterly cast down. By George MacDonald, St. George and St. Michael, and it's about the Puritans and the Catholics and the conflict. And one of the characters, you may be familiar with some interesting Puritan names, Puritans often called their daughters Mercy or Grace or Constance or, you know, whatever. They tried to use virtuous ideas as names for their children, which I think is admirable. Well, one of the characters in this story, his name was Cast Down Upstill. Think about that. He's cast down, but he's up still. Cast down, up still. That may be our plight. We may be cast down, but hey, we're up still. That we will not be utterly cast down, or we will not be cast headlong. We may stumble, we may fall to our knees, but we're going to get back up. We will inherit the land, dwell forever. We will not slide. Our steps will not slide. And here's another one. We will see the wicked cut off. That's said here. We'll see it. Part of me likes that. I want to see that happen. Now there's also a list of prophetic truths about the wicked. The wicked will be cut down. Amen. The wicked will wither. The wicked will be cut off. The wicked will not be. Period. The wicked will be broken. The wicked will perish. The wicked will consume away as smoke. The children of the wicked will be cut off. The wicked will be destroyed. Those are the prophetic sayings here in Psalm 37 about this conflict and those who are involved in it. Now there is also another list about what God is doing and his role in it. Pretty exciting. The Lord shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Mm-hmm. Now it is also phrased in with delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. We are delighting in the Lord and he gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us himself. He gives us presence with himself. He gives us himself, peace. The Lord shall bring it to pass. These are the actions that the Lord is doing. He is giving and he is bringing. And this is phrased with the commit your way to the Lord. He will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the sun and your judgment as the noonday. He shall laugh at the wicked. He upholdeth the righteous. With his hand. He shall not leave the righteous. Do you know how very important that simple thing is? He shall not leave. Amen. He shall not condemn the righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ on us. Yes. We are broken people. We are condemnable people. But with the righteousness of Christ covering us, he shall not condemn us. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. He shall help the righteous. He shall deliver the righteous. He shall save the righteous. is doing in the here and now, in literal space, in right here in Columbus, Indiana, in this time. And as you listen, pick out who is doing what. Look to see what the Lord is doing. Where is Jesus? What is he doing? Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. A mighty Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is alive and active. Lord, help us as we trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.